B-Pod Studios.
Sports. Listen, listen, watch, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nessun.
Star of Nessun.
The battle for Boston's biggest sports legend continues.
But today, I'm Catherine Tappan, star of...
Hi, hi, hi.
What's Tappanin'?
Up to this point, that was the worst bit, I think, unanimously, that we've ever done.
No,
what's happening? See, but nobody remembers that one. This one, what's happening, everyone remembers.
Yeah, Rudd Stafford was...
It had nothing to do with her. It was a concept that just did not really quite work.
Yeah, it was not good. All right, well, Rich...
Mm-hmm.
You know, if nothing else, we have to ride the trends, and there's something everyone's talking about.
There is. And so, of course, like we like to do, we try to piggyback on the popularity of something massive that is going on either in the sports world or pop culture. And right now, we have downstairs in the office bathroom, we have both Nick and Bird. They are right now in each individual stall inside said bathroom, and we thought of a game that we are simply calling
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
See, because it's a long flush. See, Game of Thrones is a show, and people call toilets sometimes thrones.
Yeah. So
we explored the depths of our minds. And decided, what we came to, Rich, is it was going to be a Name That Tune situation.
Pretty much. So what is happening is that Nick and Bird are each in an individual stall right now in the company bathroom, and I will give them a category, and they will have to tell us how many flushes they believe they can complete the category's requirements in. So let's go to Nick and Bird, who right now, let's see if they were competent to at least get on the phone with us for our Game of Thrones. Let's check in on... Nick, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Bird, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
All right.
So and you did put on the door, bathroom clothes, do not, because we don't want somebody actually walking in the middle of this.
Yes, we did.
All right, in your clothes, because this does not require you to sit.
Okay. Yeah, we have clothes on.
Oh, okay.
All right, now, Rich, what is this called again?
This is called...
Game of Thrones.
So, gentlemen...
Game of Thrones.
Yes, that's what it's called. So, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a category. And each one of you has to tell me one at a time how many flushes you believe you can complete said category in, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, are you ready for the category number one?
Sure.
So you're not flushing until you've predicted how long it will take.
Right. Until I say go. One of you will answer. One of you will flush.
There's a lot of monetary value for this.
Yeah. So I will give you the category, and you say I can do that in blank flushes. Okay. Let's start with Nick. Nick.
Yes.
The category is to name 10 Marvel movies.
How many flushes?
I can probably do that in 3 flushes.
All right. Bird, how long do you think it would take you to do it?
About the same. I'll go 2.
Once again, he doesn't quite get the concept of the game.
All right, so
you can name 10 Marvel movies in 2 flushes, Bird? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it.
Well, then let's play the Game of Thrones, shall we? So,
okay.
When I say go, Bird, I want you to start naming 10 Marvel movies, and Nick, you start the flushing.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
On your mark, get set, play the Game of Thrones!
Captain America, Civil War. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Ant-Man and Wasp. Avengers of Ultron.
Thor. You're absolutely Bird. I am so sorry, Bird. Bird, you have lost.
Seven, so.
Bird, you're done.
I know.
What's the name of this game again?
Game of Thrones.
That's right, okay. So, Bird, you are 0 for 1 in the Game of Thrones.
So stupid.
It's awesome. I love it. Why didn't we do this
Thank
sooner?
You, John.
I love it.
It's because it was Rich and I essentially on acid.
I know. That's what makes it great. Next category, Bird and Nick.
Okay.
Name 10 bars around the TD Garden.
Oh.
Ooh. Nick, how many flushes can you do that in?
I can do it for two flushes.
Oh no, you can't.
Way.
There's
Boy.
No way. You're lying.
Wow.
Bird, can you beat that?
No, I can't. He's full of it. No way.
All right, so... Bird, are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Nick, are you ready?
Yep.
Let's play the Game of Thrones!
Okay, Lansdowne Pub, Game On, Cask and Flagon. Oh no. Bleacher Bar.
You failed miserably.
Oh.
That was
too funny. Oh no, you have failed!
Bird hath dropped thy deuce.
Which game are we playing?
Game of Thrones.
All right, let's get a little more realistic here, guys. I mean, two flushes is... Two flushes is awfully...
At Toucher and Rich. Guys, this just locked up the Marconi. At Toucher and Rich, what the hell is happening right now?
That's Game of Thrones.
Sheer awesomeness is happening right now.
What am I listening to? Maybe we do want someone to walk in during this. Hashtag take the sign down.
No one takes the sign down. All right. Guys, you're a little...
ambitious.
Ambitious yeah. here. Let's kind of think of what we
want
to do.
I want there to be a winner. All right. Finally, our final category, 1 with 3.
My wife just texted, so awful, it's funny.
Or just so awful, it's awful. All right.
All right, gentlemen. Okay, so if you don't know what's going on... Bird and Nick are in the bathroom, and we give them something like a list, and they have to, in how many flushes can they get the things right?
Okay.
This toilet.
The category is... The category is...
Poop.
Name 10 books of fiction.
I could do it in 45.
72 flushes.
Oh, this is a head scratcher for both of you.
All right. Nick, how many flushes do you think it would take to name 10 books of fiction?
I am going to say 4 flushes.
4 flushes.
Oh.
Bird.
Say 4 or 5 flushes.
Okay, well, you can't go up.
Can't say All right, Bird, go.
Okay, so I guess we'll just get... You know, let's give this one to Bird.
I agree.
It's a stand-up.
I think this is good. Yes.
I think we give this one to
yes.
Bird. All right, Bird, you think you can do it in 4 flushes when you couldn't name 1 book of fiction when we had you on a couple weeks ago?
Oh, God, yeah. Good.
Let's play the Game of Thrones!
Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six. Disney, Mickey Mouse. Doctor Who.
Dr.
Did he just say Tom Clancy? As
yeah.
A book?
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is our author.
Five plus.
Oh, Bird! I give it one.
Bird! Did he just say Tom Clancy?
Yes. He actually said Seal. I think. Did he say Seal Team 6, Bird?
Whatever. He said yeah. Mickey Mouse as a work of fiction, like a book. Oh, well, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
What was the last thing you just played?
Which one? Taking a poop. Game of Thrones. All right, 617-779-0985.
I think we're all winners in this.
Why are you giving out the phone number?
Just in case someone had an opinion about something they might have heard on the radio.
Both of you failed miserably.
Kraken in Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, it's, come on.
No, it's definitely a toilet. I think my 8-year-old daughter just went, this is too immature.
Bird just naming authors and made up cartoon characters.
Mickey Mouse. Dr. Seuss.
Well, there it is. Game of Thrones.
So look for that to be replayed
88 times at the seventh circle of hell.
The 10th anniversary of the station's coming up.
That's a top tenner right there.
Oh, yeah.
Any chance the mountain comes in and kills everyone? That's what the guy on Twitter says.
Well, I like that you made one about diarrhea.
Didn't make anything so.
Beware thy royal stench of thy diarrhea.
Well, maybe I did. I forgot about that one.
Jesus. All right. We'll be back.
Game of Thrones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Law.com. Gordon Hayward.
In the air and good. And that's what everybody here was waiting to see.
Plays here.
Brings to Hayward. Corner three is good.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
No parents, no rules, no shirts. And best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 of Sports. I'm sorry, we're both a little late coming back because we're busy just reading all the positive posts.
That would have been the ultimate mic drop moment. You guys just should have walked out after that. That would have been it.
At Toucher and Rich, good Lord, prepare acceptance speech. That just clinched another Marconi. Rich finally got high coming up with the game. I think we're all losers here. Somebody said, this is the absolute dumbest bit Toucher and Rich have ever done, and I can't stop laughing at it. Any chance the mountain comes in and kills everyone there? Mickey Mouse literally just made me spit take. I can't wait for the Brown Wedding episode of Game of Thrones. Which might be my favorite.
That's a good line.
And this bit proves that those gummies definitely worked at some point for Rich. They finally kicked in just about 2 months after I did that. We'll quickly take a call. Can you pull up line one, Dan? Do you have access to that? Andy, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys, two quick things. So that's number two in the fecal-centric bits of Toucher and Rich, number one being Date Me or Dump Me.
Yes, Date Me or Dump Me was probably the number one in that group, yes.
You want to talk about some bad audio? I know you guys covered it earlier, but Fred Durst played a guitar solo at a concert once that's on YouTube, and it is horrendous. You guys should look that one up.
Who is it? I'm sorry, who did?
It's Fred Durst.
Oh, Fred Durst playing a guitar solo. I'm sure it was so
bad. It's so bad. You got to look it up. It's amazing.
I'm sure it was phenomenal. All right. Well, thank you, Andy, for calling. Okay, so there is a new segment we should do. Maybe not as much as our new Game of Thrones bit, but Fred, we should do a bit called "Who's Clutching Their Pearls," and who is completely outraged at something that maybe people should not be outraged by. I don't know if you saw this, Fred, but I think it might have been on Friday's show on ESPN, The Jump. That's that basketball show, which it's got Paul Pierce on it.
And, right.
Well, he was on there, and they were talking about the retirement of Dwayne Wade. And so they showed a bunch of, you know, battles that they did together, the Celtics' big three versus their big three. And they came back, and they asked him a question as to who he thought was the better all-around player. And here's what he had to say.
All right. Tale of the tape. Both NBA Finals MVP. You have him in career points. He's got more playoff points. You are a more clutch shooter overall. He's got more playoff points. Paul, riddle me this. Who's the better NBA player?
That's easy. I can say that off the bat. That's me. If you give me Shaq, if you give me LeBron,
they did. Call the big three.
We got that late, but like early in my career.
If you give me
these guys early in my career.
Let me ask you this. What would have been a perfect time for you, Paul? Let's make sure we get this right.
When I was 24 years old, you give me Shaq. When I'm 24, 25, you give me LeBron and Bosh. I'd be sitting on 5 or 6 championships. Easy.
So then who has the better NBA career?
I played 10 years with who?
You know what?
With who?
Antoine Walker. But here's the thing.
Come on, man. Antoine's an all-star.
I knew you were going to do this.
You got Wally Szczerbiak there.
Delonte West.
Yeah, don't write off the Zerb, man.
Szczerbiak's eyebrows coming through. Very disturbing when he does college basketball. So people are upset at Paul.
Yeah. Continue to let it play because it's pretty good here.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he ends up going on, and then he had Jalen Rose ends up kind of throwing stuff back in his face, saying, hey, you had some missing tape years when you were with the Clippers. And I would say that you somewhat fell off there, whereas Dwayne Wade is still playing hard, and he really had no answer for that. He was like, you know what? You give me prime Shaq. And he goes, hang on. Dwayne Wade didn't get prime Shaq. Kobe got prime Shaq. Like, Shaq was kind of a little bit over the hill when he ended up going and they had won that title. Although Shaq was huge in those playoffs that year.
No, Shaq was just huge. That was when Shaq started eating.
Right. I mean, you're
like, by the time he got to Boston.
Miami? Boston. I mean,
By the time he got here, he had pretty much given up.
He had a great month in him. Like, and that was all. Like, I remember when he was first on the Celtics, he got out there and I was like, oh my God, this is borderline magical what we are seeing. He's just dominating everyone. It's old Shaq, and then of course he, you know, gets all old and busted by the end of it. But so after that was done, of course a lot of people ripped on Paul Pierce, as they probably should, because, you know, I mean,
I got the last part,
that's pretty good.
Those were
some
of the great series of I can ever remember covering.
Dwayne Wade didn't get prime Shaq. Kobe did.
But Shaq still has something in the tank. That's why they won, because he still has something in the tank.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade, the number one shot blocker amongst all guards in NBA history. So that's got to be a factor about shot blocking.
How about their final couple of years? You had some lost tape years, like in the Clippers.
Oh, he's got it. He doesn't acknowledge those years.
I was at the house.
That was like me and Phoenix.
I just came home. Never changed.
I was coaching.
Actually, that I played for who? I was there as a coach. I was coaching.
I don't even remember him with the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, last 2 years, he averaged under 7 points a game both years.
Yeah, he came back.
Yeah, he was.
It was a Doc Rivers favorite.
He averaged 3.2 points a game his final season. I mean, there were 2 years. The last 2 years of his career were with the Clippers. Remember, he was playing for Washington, and in the playoffs, he won them a series almost won them a series, and then the last 2 years of his career were playing for Doc. It's basically an assistant coach.
He played for the Wizards for like one season, right?
One season.
Because remember, that was when he hit that big shot in the playoffs.
And then they screamed series, and then they lost.
Said, I called game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so he had that one shining moment.
That's right.
However, not only were a bunch of people on the internet, you know, ripping on Paul Pierce, which I thought was kind of funny because, you know, in the end, as big of a Celtics fan as you are, Dwayne Wade had a better career.
Right.
But Gabrielle Union, who is the wife of Dwayne Wade, and you could hear when he's talking about it, he's obviously having a good time with it. You know, he's, of course it's me. You know, he's being kind of cocky and funny. He's not being a dick. So Gabrielle Union comes out and goes, This Paul Pierce thing is wrong on so many obvious levels. But what I find most troublesome is this idea of a man trying to diminish another man that looks like him, raised like him, in order to shine a tad brighter. Blank isn't entertaining. It's sad. Love and peace, good people. We do not have to buy into the notion that there's only so much love, attention, resources, and opportunities and respect to go around. This scarcity mindset is a trap, and it keeps us all fighting amongst ourselves. Are you out of your mind? It's called two rivals busting balls. What? I mean, all of this, like that, you're making this some higher, greater good thing about all this, you know, violence on the streets and fighting amongst ourselves. Dude, he's busting balls. Have fun with it. Do Photoshops. You know what? Retweet memes where Dwayne Wade hits a game winner over Paul Pierce's head. That's fine. Do what you want. It was all meant in good fun. He was asked the question, what do you think he's going to say? I just, oh, I love this. Oh, my goodness gracious.
How do I know that name, Gabrielle Union?
She was in, was she on Martin?
Yeah. No. No, that wasn't her. Was it?
Gabrielle Union was like a
She's
star.
She's been in a bunch of things. She was in Bad Boys. She was in, was she in Bring It On? Yeah, she was a rival cheerleader in Bring It On.
Maybe that's why I thought it was Martin, because she was in Bad Boys.
No, that was somebody else. She wasn't in Martin.
It wasn't Gina from Martin?
No, that's somebody else.
All right.
Yeah, but she married Dwayne Wade. Yeah, and she was like in a bunch of... Was she in Booty Call? Which, by the way, was fantastic.
Booty Call's a fantastic movie.
Booty Call is a really funny movie.
Yes.
And that was Jamie Foxx and Martin Lawrence.
Yes. Booty Call is one of those... If that's on TV, you gotta sit down and watch Booty Call.
She's all that. Oh, Moesha. She was in Moesha.
Can't say I'm familiar with Moesha. Now, I know it starred the great Moesha. Mm-hmm. We don't hear so much anymore.
Steve Harvey Show. She was in 10 Things I Hate About You. Also not a bad movie.
10 Things I Hate About You has captivated my children.
Oh, they've seen the movie?
Oh, baby. There you go.
I don't know if it was that movie. No, it was A Knight's Tale. So, you know, Heath Ledger was... I think 10 Things I Hate About You was the first movie I ever saw Heath Ledger in. It might be one of his first, like, big films.
His first non-pornographic.
Yeah, that might be it. But he did a movie called A Knight's Tale, which is just weird.
Terrible.
Where, like, it's about the medieval times, but everyone's singing like it's a musical. But they're singing, like, modern songs, so it was very odd. But he came in studio, and we were going to talk to him about A Knight's Tale. He walked in studio, and before the mics even went on, took the newspaper and put it up in front of his face. Like, so there was his face, the newspaper, and the microphone was on the outside of the newspaper. And we're like, okay, well, he's obviously someone who's not very social. Once we start the interview, we'll get things going. So we cracked the mics, and it was like, hey, we're here with Heath Ledger. Heath, how's everything going this morning? And he started talking from behind the newspaper. And we're like, Heath, we're on the air now. Just wanted to let you know. And he pulled down the newspaper as if, like, what the hell? He is, to this day, the biggest a-hole we've ever had to interview was Heath Ledger.
You know what? I had a guy do that, and I kicked him out of studio, and it's the same level of talent as
Greg Proops, right? You said you talked
about
this.
Greg Proops.
I remember this. Who's Heath Ledger anyway guy? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like they, you know, on the same level of celebrity. Like, yeah, he was like reading the newspaper, and I'm like, you're on that dumb improvisational show.
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it was like, I thought that at some point you're on the radio, you're going to sound like an a-hole.
Yeah.
And then he was like completely incredulous after we asked him if he could put the newspaper down so we could actually see him and talk to him. And he just, every answer was like a one-word answer, looking at his PR people like with his hands up, like, what am I doing here?
It's just funny because then you read like these guys like Jake Johnson, who was on New Girl, and just about... Like, where you listen to podcasts with them on and just how much they hate doing press. Like, so every time they come in, they're just miserable.
And then there's guys who are, like, shockingly great. Like, they have no need to be this nice. And it's usually, like, the bigger the star, the nicer they are. I remember Vince Vaughn had just finished Wedding Crashers. Like, there was, like, he was as hot as you could be in Hollywood. On the top of his game. And he was doing this like Wild West comedy show type thing. Remember when he took like three of his friends on the road to do a comedy show?
Yeah, I was with you. That was
No. This was in Dallas. This was in a different city.
Are you sure this was before 2006?
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah, it was before that. So he was doing this Wild West comedy show, and I had to go to his bus afterwards. And you know who was with him? It was the kid from The Christmas Story. Peter Billingsley was like one of his producers, but he's all grown up. And Peter Billingsley and him invited us on his bus, and he invited us to stay for drinks and go out to dinner with him. And my wife and I were on his bus for like an hour and a half, just drinking with him for a while. He couldn't have been any cooler. And he didn't need to do that. And then you have, of course, you know, Jeff Proofs coming in here.
I think he ended up being the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
No, that's Kinney. That's Tom Kinney.
Tom Kinney from
Wildly Talented. Yes.
Yes. All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 thus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Best Marker Board.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
Talk sports.
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich, still riding the high of Game of Thrones. The best pick that we've ever done on the history of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The response has been, Rich, nothing short of
1,000% positive. Like, I mean, it couldn't be any more positive. I would just feel like we were gloating and just patting ourselves on the back if I was to read all the responses, which you can see on our Twitter account, which I've retweeted. It's just 1,000% positive.
There you go.
On that bit. We just got a very interesting text. So apparently tomorrow we are going to have on the show Mr. Bruce Cassidy, which is great. We love having him on. Bruce Cassidy, one of the best interviews in town. As far as coaches and managers in this town go, he is amongst the best. He is the best interview. I think we could say that, right? I mean, I don't know if Core is any good, but I know that Stevens is good, but he's not as funny, and he's also doesn't tell you as much, doesn't give away as much as Bruce Cassidy's always honest. And Bill Belichick's the worst. Like, I mean, his interviews are why anyone would subject themselves to listening to that would just be torture.
And Brady are horrible interviews.
Brady does it much better than Belichick does. They say basically the same thing, but Brady says it with a smile.
But
so he's considered the better interview.
But they both say nothing, obviously. Yeah. But Bruce Cassidy is a great interview. So we got a text that he's going to be on tomorrow at 9.
Most likely.
However, that raises the question, are they doing that in place of Jake DeBrusk? Because as we've known in the past, players don't usually do interviews outside of the postgame ones they're required to do during the playoffs. And if that's the case, if I'm Jake DeBrusk, am I having a little bit of a fit or panic attack on the inside?
That's got to annoy him a little bit.
Well, Torrey Krug again told me on Saturday that DeBrusk really, I mean, he was kind of making fun of DeBrusk, but that DeBrusk really thinks that doing the show is good luck and believes it.
And he's told us that too on the show. And when he says it, he's not really laughing. And it came right on the heels of him talking about how superstitious he is. Like he was saying, sometimes I'll have to drive to practice at a different route, something to break it up just to kind of make the universe think differently about me.
Well, and if you think about it, the guys tape their sticks the same way. They put on their skates the same way every time. They have a bunch of rituals.
So it's great that we're having Bruce Cassidy on, but I hope that booking of the interview wasn't a way of them saying, hey, instead of DeBrusk, we're going to give you Bruce Cassidy. I hope it's back-to-back Bruce Cassidy, DeBrusk. That would be fantastic. And then, once again, DeBrusk will feel good about it. And we sure as hell, this time of year more than any, we want him to go in there with that confidence.
See, we should just be incredible pricks to him. And he still has to call in.
Just say, like, horrible things.
Yeah.
I can see that. Just test how much he truly believes it's the TNR bump.
Right. Like, make it so he would never want to do it again, but he has to.
But this is going to, and once again, when you take a look at the schedule, the good thing is that you're getting hockey every other day.
I've been told by a member of the Bruins that the two are not mutually exclusive.
Perfect. Okay. Good. I like it. I'm sure that makes both us and especially Jake DeBrusk feel a bit better about all this.
Yeah.
So, now that we know the schedule, the Bruins, they're going to start Thursday night. I believe it's 7 p.m. and then the Saturday night one is going to be 8 o'clock, and then it's every other day, which is the way it should be. And I hate any of these things that are usually spread out. First round, even in basketball, is not even that spread out. And we'll know, obviously, that schedule soon. But this stupid NHL playoff, the way they've got things set up, and when did they start doing this? Like 5 years ago?
I think it was less, right? They changed the divisions. Yeah. It was like 2-3 years ago.
I mean, you want to talk about a ridiculously hard road for the Bruins to end up getting the Stanley Cup final. It's bad luck, obviously, and it's not always going to be that way. But it is strange how they still don't reseed things at, you know, once the first round is done. I just think that, and I know that there's a lot of people from the school of, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, blah, 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 blah. And eventually they would have to play.
Can we beat the best in the Eastern Conference Finals? Can we do that?
Well, that's the idea.
Jesus.
You would hopefully that, and you would think it would be better for ratings too, like a ramp up to the big, you know, the big Eastern Conference Finals.
But the argument would be is if you look at the past Stanley Cup winners, a lot have come out of the Metropolitan Division.
And on top of that, too, Fred, they've announced, I think it was just this week, that they're going to do the same thing again next year. Like, this was kind of a temporary deal, but they've announced that we're going to get the same one next year. And obviously, Tampa Bay is probably, I don't know whose contracts are up when, but I mean, I still think they're going to be an excellent team. So you might have to run into the same problem next year, which begs the question, now that you kind of know what the road is going to have to be for the Bruins, and you're looking at what's going to happen with the Celtics, who do you believe is going to go further? Because the Celtics in the first rounds, they should win that no problem. A Pacers team without Oladipo, they should move on. First round for the Bruins, they should win that, but it's going to be tougher. I think it's going to be probably go more games than the Celtics.
See, they should win that in 5 or 6 games.
And see, I think so too.
Because Toronto is imploding, and the whole situation behind the scenes there, I guess, is really messed up.
Indiana or Toronto?
Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's just got Oladipo hurt. I mean, that's the main problem.
But they've been playing terribly the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly the team the Celtics want to play in round one. And by the way, to answer your question, Tampa has everyone back next year, and then things might get a little crazy. Not up front, but goaltending-wise, because Vasilevskiy is going to be looking for a much bigger contract. But all the guys, Stamkos, Callahan, Kucherov, you know, Yanni Gord, Kalorn, Hedman, McDonough, Vasilevskiy, they have everyone locked up at least through next season.
That's good.
And they won their 62nd game.
Yeah, they'll be a year older. That's right. Stamkos at the age of 29 still. Jesus. I mean, that's incredible to me that he is not yet 30.
But, John, we were talking about this earlier in the show. If you look at the potential matchups for the second round of both teams, I mean, more than likely, you'll hopefully see a Bruins versus Lightning. I don't think there's any miracles going to happen. But then with the Celtics, more than likely they would play Milwaukee, where Milwaukee's the one seed. But
for different reasons, both Boston teams would have a shot. I mean, I'm going to throw out the regular season finale. I don't think anyone's going to begrudge me
that.
They
weren't trying.
The Bruins played this team well. The Bruins have played this team well, and if any team has a chance to knock off Tampa Bay, it would be the Bruins. I'm not saying it's doable. Tampa Bay's a wagon. They tied the NHL record for most victories in a season. They're historically good this year.
Well, look at it this way, is that in hockey, strange things can happen.
Rask could get hot and Vasilevsky's off for a week. Right. I mean, Vasilevsky's a Vezina Trophy candidate every year, but
so
maybe,
I like the Bruins over Tampa than I like the Celtics over.
You see,
Milwaukee.
I think the Celtics can match up well with Milwaukee if they play like they've played the last week or two.
And they have all season. I mean, they've been good games.
That's the thing. So, and without Brogdon, and that's a big loss for Milwaukee. Off the bench, I like the Celtics' chances against Milwaukee, too. For different reasons, I think both Boston teams have a shot.
Brogdon. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
What?
I'm still riding high off the flush in the toilet bit.
You like that one?
Bird hath dropped thy deuce.
You see, just to hear the voice, I mean,
people love Rich's.
Just the voice is good enough for me.
People love it. I love it as well.
Sean is very nervous about this upcoming Game of Thrones. He's like excited, nervous all at the same time.
How many guys have been castrated on that show?
I can only think of a couple.
It's just castration palooza there.
Yeah, no, I can only think of a couple off the top of my head. There might have been more.
There was something on Saturday Night Live where they referenced how many guys have been castrated. But as soon as that one dude got castrated, no thank you, by Mick Mars. No. I don't like that. All right, we'll return.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, there's some big news. $2,500 scholarship for 12 graduating New Hampshire high school seniors. Local Dunkin' business owners in New Hampshire are now welcoming applications for the 24th annual New Hampshire Scholarship Program and will award $30,000 in scholarships to 12 deserving.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. I think someone believes the DA is still working here. Because there is a very classy hardcore book, hardcover book here called Shoes, Pleasure, and Pain.
There's some weird stuff in the studio. So we got that Shoes, Pleasure, and Pain book, which is very strange. And then we still haven't figured out who this CBD oil pen belongs to that's sitting right in front of where my microphone is. And somebody tweeted us and said that apparently it was there on Friday during Felger and Maz's show, and they had referenced it as well. So that means it wasn't a weekend person. It was a regular on-air personality. If it was here on Friday,
well, who would have left it behind? It wasn't here during this show on Friday.
No, it
wasn't.
But
it was there during the afternoon show on Friday.
And people are saying Jim Murray, first of all, he would not just leave that around. Second of all, his desk is nowhere near where mine is. So I don't think, unless it somehow got moved all the way to the side.
Jim sits over here where I sit.
Well, I mean, it's legal. It's not like anyone broke the law.
No, but it's just, I mean, the fact that you're bringing it into work is a little weird.
Maybe you have some pain.
Possibly.
Interesting.
Like the shoes. Open futures.
Why is that here? Now, I know why we had the socks here, because Esoteric and Czarface are doing a thing with the sock company. I got that.
Yes, yeah.
But it would have been weird if I didn't know where that came from and there was a footbook right next to it. I would think that we had some strange fetishist, much like Rex Ryan, somewhere in this studio.
Catherine Deneuve wearing Roger Weaver's pilgrim pumps.
Why is this here?
Well, it won't be here for long.
Is it okay to touch him again?
Okay, that is still one of the weirdest things. God, that was so funny when that video came out, because there was nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're right. None whatsoever. Rex, did you enjoy making those videos?
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of figured that.
I'm still looking for a pair that I cannot live without. Julia, a shoe collector.
What do you think of Julia?
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of figured you like him.
Closets filled with shoes.
Didn't he want to, like, smell them, too?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just resting for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. There's no car trouble or anything?
No, not at all. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
Oh, all right. Sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. In fact, you have really beautiful feet. Yeah, they are beautiful. Do you mind if I touch them? Yes, you do. I can touch them.
Okay, I can't listen to it anymore. All right, I was kind of gong-showing myself there. That creeps me out and oogs me out more than anything.
Dame Helen Mirren.
The best is that
at the premiere of Red 2.
Do you remember that photo that came out where somebody did an article on Rex Ryan and he's sitting at his desk and in the background, and you know, yes. It was like something that he didn't like place prominently so it would be on the camera. It was just, here's his desk. He has a framed photo of his wife's feet.
Yeah. And it was a digital photo that like changed.
It would change from one to the next?
Yeah. other pictures of feet.
It was always his wife, though. That was the thing I thought was great. At least he's like monogamous. He's a romantic. He loves her feet and no one else's.
Yeah. I mean, that's they got married in down the aisle. It was just dog food.
Mm. Just they could walk in it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Squish, squish.
Should we take a call?
Why not? Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, so before I get to my point, which will be real quick anyway, so this is the first time that Bert has ever put me on hold and then took me off hold and said, hey, don't swear.
Okay.
Wow,
I've never heard that before.
I like it.
I don't know why he thought he needed to tell me that.
I think it's because that's what he should be doing from the very beginning, but I like that he did it. That was Bird, good move.
Yeah, he put me on hold. I was listening to your show for, I don't know, 90 seconds or something, and then he's like, hey, Jay, don't swear. I was like, all right.
Look at him.
Look at that.
Well, my point was, I love how we're looking ahead. Like, we're talking about the second round. We're like, yeah, Bruins will probably beat Toronto. Oh, yeah, Celtics will probably beat Pacers. Let's talk about the second round. Like, that's how spoiled we are now, is every time our team gets in the playoffs, we're like, yeah, they're going to probably win the first round, then we'll just see what happens.
Well, the only team that I haven't really felt that way recently was the Patriots. Like, I mean, that was a tough road the entire way. This one...
You know what? And when I was watching that game, after the Chargers game, I think it was when I was watching the Kansas City game, I was telling people on the internet, I was like, if they win this game, they're winning the Super Bowl, it's no doubt. Because you're right. I didn't think they were going to win the game. And then when it looked like they were going to win it, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to win it.
But agree that looking at the first two matchups, you know, with the Maple Leafs and with the Pacers, you're pretty confident they're moving on to the second round.
Yeah, I'm confident because I've seen these teams beat both those teams all the time.
Well, I mean, the Lightning one. The Maple Leafs one, sure. And the Pacers, were they 1-3? And I think or 3-1. And I think the one loss they had, Oladipo.
Yes. So, yeah, so Oladipo hit the game-winning shot.
And that's right. It was the game-winning shot, too. And also, I mean, the Pacers have no play. I mean, the way the Celtics have been playing ever since they put Aaron Baines out there in the starting five, like, they look like a different team. Defensively, they're completely different, and the numbers don't lie as well. And the fact that Gordon Hayward can come off your bench and score 15, 16 points on any given night is huge. And maybe, you know, we're getting tricked again, but something just feels different about the way the Celtics are ending their season. And maybe Kyrie's right. And maybe we should have all sat back and gone, you know what? I'm taking your word for it. The switch is flipped. It sure does look like it right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if we look at each other a week from now or 2 weeks from now and go, we were all suckers and we all fell for it.
Well, if the Bruins don't beat Toronto, there's no excuse.
It's a massive failure if the Bruins don't beat Toronto.
Oh, absolutely. It's a failure of a season.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's no question, Fred.
I mean, Toronto's not in a good place right now.
No, they have. I mean, John Tavares has done exactly what he was paid to do. He scored almost 50 goals this year. I mean, can't ask for anything more from a free agent like that. But seriously, I mean, it doesn't matter. The Bruins are better depth-wise than this team.
Well, our guest coming up at 9 is not here, but in fairness, he works here.
caught in traffic again?
He's pulling in now.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Caught in traffic? Well, everyone. I mean, you got to get here.
All right. By the way, I'll quickly read. Congratulations on your brilliant Game of Thrones segment this morning. My 5-year-old thought it was the best thing he's ever heard on the radio. So I said, hey, just came up in my memories, but today is the 9-year anniversary of the best TNR bit of all time, Getty Brewski.
Yeah.
How about that?
9 years ago today?
On the same day, one of our favorite bits of all time, all right, Getty Brewski, was launched. Our second most favorite bit of all time, Game of Thrones.
I don't recall Game of Thrones. How'd it go?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
See, they're all... They were in the restroom at the time.
Game of Thrones.
So we'll be replaying that at 6, 7, and 8 tomorrow. In case you missed it. And if you didn't know a work of fiction, Mickey Mouse.
That's right, we learned some things.
All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.